So we have a quorum here. So I'm going to do the official roll call now.
The LSP meeting.
So Tom Marotta, are you here?
Yes, present.
So Tom is here. Neil Voss is here. Bruce Greif?
Here.
Here. Denise Joyce?
Here.
Mayat? Okay, Daryl McPherson?
Here.
Daryl? Okay, you're here. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman?
Here.
All right, you're here. So we just did the roll call, and we have made quorum. And the next thing on the agenda is timekeeper. So who would like to be a timekeeper for today?
I can be if no one else wants to do it. I volunteer.
Okay, you'll be timekeeper then, Denise. Okay. All right, let me ask if is Raphael Shimonoff here today, here right now? Raphael, are you here?
Bruce?
Grace Aaron.
All right, I don't hear Raphael here at the meeting. So we're going to proceed with the announcements. And
Neil, point of interest, perhaps
you
can give Mr. Shimonoff a call to see if he is going to be calling shortly to see what's going on from that standpoint.
Yes, Bruce, I'll call him, and I'll call him, and I'll dial back in. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that. Thanks
perhaps
for that,
now,
Denise.
Point of interest, perhaps now we can also address very quickly Eleanor's concern about the absences. And if
All right. So if there's no objection, we'll give Eleanor Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman an excused absence for the last meeting that she was absent at, which I believe was the November meeting. Was that correct, Eleanor?
Yes.
Yeah, the November meeting. All right, if there's no objections, we'll give Eleanor an excused absence. Hearing no objections, Denise received an excused absence for that meeting. And we're going to proceed.
Point of interest, may I just interject one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can hear Eleanor's second meeting transpiring, the KPFK meeting. If everybody might agree, perhaps we can just send a meeting that they have a successful meeting and that we will make every effort to do so as well. Because
all right,
she wanted to
right.
But for that to continue is kind of distracting.
All right. Okay. Are there any objections to wishing the California station a successful meeting? All right. Then we'll go ahead and wish them that. Eleanor, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Eleanor. The CAB is going to wish the California meeting that you're at, the LSB meeting, for them to have a successful meeting. Okay, so do you want to send that off to them? Because I can't do it right now.
I will say it during the public comment time that we wish them a successful meeting. Can I say that we support their position?
We haven't gotten that far, Eleanor, and that is like starting to get into station politics, which the CAB is not allowed to get into. So we wish them We wish them a successful meeting, and we'll leave our message at that, Eleanor. All right, go ahead,
okay.
Denise.
Point of interest.
Go ahead,
that
Denise.
Would be good, But if Eleanor is going to give verbal messages during our meeting, I think we really need to focus on our meeting and being successful at this particular meeting, because we are at a crucial stage in our WBAI station as well. So perhaps email them after or separately on your computer or whatever, but I don't think it's suitable for you to have a message to another station when we are having a meeting and we are trying to accomplish quite a bit ourselves.
Well, we kind of already agreed to just send that message. We're just wishing them for a successful meeting. That's all we're doing. And Eleanor, we are hearing that meeting coming through your phone. So if on Maestro, Eleanor, you can mute yourself, and I still think you can hear our meeting by hitting the number 6. Just hit the number 6, and your phone should be muted.
Is it 6 or star 6?
For Maestro, it's just 6.
Okay,
just
6 will
6.
Mute it, and how do I unmute again?
I'll probably hit it again.
Okay, I'm going to test that right now.
Okay.
Is that Bruce? Point of interest, did we just hear Bruce?
You know, I think Raphael is here. He just said, hi, Raphael.
Yes. So perhaps
did it work?
Yes, it did Eleanor. Thanks a lot. It did work. All right. We're going to proceed here. What I would like to do at this point is to change the agenda for today. I would like to move F, guest speakers, above C, to accommodate Raphael Shimanoff. Is that how you say your name, Raphael?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. All right. So if there's no objections, we're going to move the guest speaker section to after timekeeper and above announcements. All right. There's no objections to doing that. So, Raphael, could you introduce yourself? Or you want?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I can.
Sure. Go ahead.
I first wanted to just say how grateful I am for all your work, all of you all, because, you know, our show, our community has this home on WBAI because of your work, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about the show and our community and me. The show is Beyond the Pale, Friday mornings. It used to be on Sunday morning, or Sunday noon, and it was started by an organization called Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, JFRED. JFRED, the shortest version of the JFRED story is 30 years ago when Nelson Mandela was touring the world, the mainstream Jewish community in New York and across the U.S. decided to offensively kind of attach strings to his welcome, demanding that he cease to advocate for Palestinians. So left the Jews across the city who were already planning to create JFRED, this grassroots community group of left Jews, decided to say no and welcome Mandela without any ridiculous demand, and did. And in addition to welcoming him, which was like amazing and huge, the group sent him off with $50,000, which is today $120,000 in funds to support the struggle back home. One of those founders was Marilyn Kleinberg Neymark, who also created the show, Beyond the Pale, then being the only Jewish program on radio or TV from the left Jewish perspective. And it ran on BAI from 95 to 2014. So it's been quiet for a decade. Then my friend Linda Sarsour decided she's going to spend a month visiting Palestine last year, and she suggested I could cover her Wednesday edition of What's Going On. I loved doing it. I did it for that month. Linda Perry, Michael Haskins, they helped me through it a lot. And after covering for a month and learning as much as I'm still learning a lot, I began to cover other hosts who needed it until I was offered this space on Friday morning. So we use it to revive Beyond the Pale with the blessing of its original hosts and contributors who we've been inviting on. And, you know, long story short, like my background, I grew up in public housing in Queens. BAI was always playing in apartments across my community. I also lived near Electchester, which is union, electrician union housing. That was also being played across the thing because of labor stuff. So, you know, with BAI today, it just feels like, you know, we can advocate. I'm an activist, and we could advocate against things, but it's always better to also create and maintain alternatives and show people that we could build our own alternative world. And that's what I really love about your work. And generally, my background is very much digital organizing, actually, for grassroots groups. So, you know, I've been doing that work for over 10 years with Working Families Parties, with JFRED, with Popular Democracy and Center for Constitutional Rights, where some of your show hosts are from. So if there are things that CAB, the Community Advisory Board, ever needs in terms of thought partner that fits my experience, my access, you know, I don't know what your campaigns and strategies are right now. This is the first time I've interacted, but at the very baseline, the stuff I'm involved with across most projects would be, you know, like certain tech where, you know, to empower kind of those campaigns, like between, you know, peer distributive texting, and you've seen that with like probably electoral campaigns or certain issue campaigns, social media content stuff, action networks, you know, like advocacy platform. Another one is, you know, advertising. My background prior to getting in the mix with movements I was working for the bad guys at ad agencies when I was young and picked up a lot there. So, and then there's also like strategy stuff around like how do you get someone once you get them, like signing a petition or signing a mail thing, how do you get them to show up in real life, those kind of things. So like I'm always happy to kind of share and be a thought partner on what the CAB needs to grow and to make BAI its best. And I guess also like I just want to note how important I feel it is. Like, you know, I hate, actually, my big secret running a left Jewish show is that I hate being pigeonholed talking about just Jewish things. Like, I really do hate it. But, you know, given my mainstream community's response to anti-Semitism and things, and especially in regard to how they respond to black people, black and brown people, and kind of promote often themselves white supremacy or racism, anti-black racism towards things during these things. Like, I feel like BAI is an important place where we can offer an alternative again to the mainstream community and really look at this building and building between all our different working class communities around the city in a way that's real and genuine and full of integrity. And I'm, you know, I just want to say, like, I'd love to be of use, and I am grateful for what you all are doing and happy to meet you all.
Thanks so much for that, Daryl. I mean, Raphael. Does anyone have any questions for Raphael?
Yes, Judith.
Who spoke?
Judith. Let's have our guest.
Oh, Judith, go ahead, Judith.
I'm with the Women in Black, and I would like you very much to interview the Women in Black. They're, we are really wonderful. I recommend it highly.
Yeah, our old archive page, beyondthepale.org, which hasn't been updated since the show closed, actually features a permanent link supporting a Woman in Black, and ever since I've seen it, I was like, how do I get connected to them again and to bring them on the show and talk about that incredible work? So I'm extremely psyched and to hear
and
that.
And
I love your program,
and I thank you that it got revived. I missed it terribly.
I appreciate it.
Okay, and any other questions for Raphael? Daryl, go ahead.
Okay, Raphael, may I call you Raphael, first of all?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, my name's Daryl McPherson. I actually during the apartheid piece, there is a woman who used to work in short-term God box, Donna. I'm losing
Donna
her
Neville?
Last name. Anyway, say it again.
Donna Neville.
I don't believe so. I could give you her address, but she worked in the corporate crimes unit of the God box. Oh. I'm trying to remember even the name of that phrase. Bottom line here is, are you familiar with a platform called Good Shop and a search engine called Good Search?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Actually, I heard of it on BAI in terms of like
me.
How people are using
okay,
it.
Okay, so this is the deal, Raphael. One of the reasons why the break between the Jewish community and the African-American community occurred, especially around just before that time, is because of status, right? So when someone gets granted white status, you fail to then connect with your roots. So up until the time in which Jews were granted that white status officially, that sort of explains the challenge that you're looking at with regard to that part of your community that fails to remember its roots, because they'd hang
100%.
They'd hang
get
a Jew just
your,
3 minutes. Okay, real quick, on the good search piece, what we want to do is reach out to all nonprofits. Get everybody to sign up for with Good Shop, so that we can then search and donate a penny to the good shop. Donate a penny to the nonprofit. And what we want to do is we want to help you grow your audience to the max, because the two things that we need is money and audience. And so whatever way we can promote your show with communities that might just look at, oh, that's just another Jewish show.
Right.
The stuff that you come with is really deep. And Esther and what were the names of the two women again? Oh, I'm having to see.
Esther Kaplan, Marilyn.
Daryl, you
Daryl, you got to wrap up your question.
Right. Just if you get a chance, Raphael, give me a call at 347-382-0854 and
got
continue
it.
To do
Daryl.
What you do and grow a huge audience.
Thank you. I can't wait to reach you. Thanks.
Okay. Do you want to respond to Daryl, Raphael?
Well,
yeah. I mean, all of that resonates with me. I'd love to talk more. I think it's spot on. I'll look into also the Good Search thing. I like what I see. I like the concept. I definitely don't see enough nonprofits or any really using it that I work with, the major ones. And I think it would be, I think it's a great idea to begin promoting that. And I'd love to together figure out a way to, you know, work on the listenership and the fundraising together.
Okay. Thank you, Raphael. Are there any other questions for Raphael?
Denise is on.
Go ahead, Denise.
First of all, thank you so much. I'm going to call you Raphael as well. In my opinion, I don't exactly agree with what Daryl said, but I would love for you to open the lines so that we could actually hear from the Jewish listeners. You know, we are a community family of listeners. We want to hear what their thoughts are and what they have to say pertaining to the guests that you have on. And as for, I live in a Jewish and black community, and I happen to feel closer to the Jewish community because of the history that we've developed during the civil rights movement. I think you know what I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
And so I have a connection with them. We understand, the Jewish people in my community understand, we have a connection of struggle and humanism. We also have some challenges, of course, but that is a predominant. I feel much more comfortable. And I think that if you opened your lines so that a dialogue could be heard by the listeners from all of our communities, the Jewish community, you have guests on your show, I'm sure that they want to ask a question or make a statement pertaining to what's happening in Israel and what's happening in the city. And I, as a listener, would love to hear what they have to say, their thoughts, their questions. And I'd like to dialogue a little bit as well, if possible. And, of course, you could... You know, it's a two-minute, like, person talking very quickly, posing the question and having an address. I think you'll find it will even expand the listenership and make the program more animated. Okay, I'm going to... That's what I'm asking, and hopefully... And then just finally, pertaining to Daryl, perhaps your PR promotion, you know, experience could help him bring his message across as a person who's trying to fundraise for WBAI. Thank you.
Absolutely, and Bruce also has been talking to me about the lines. I've had problems, like I don't, ever since like beginning, we've been saying, you know, get on the lines, here's the number, but we don't really get a lot of calls. So then I think rather than sticking to it, which I should have, we had a lot of pre-recorded content because people couldn't make it for Friday mornings live, so we would pre-record it, and that discourages, I think, people, of course, from knowing it's a place they can call in. So I hear you on that. I do want it to be, Linda's always reminding me too, to make sure it's going to be lively with callers. And I actually love taking calls. So I'm going to keep at it. Bruce shared some strategies for like promoting the number more, even outside the radio and on Twitter and other places. So I'm going to take that and also, you know, open to any advice on how to increase like the callers for it.
Yeah, because I'm going to put some cards out in my community. As I said before, I'm in a black and Jewish community, and I have shoemakers and different people in my community, shop makers and what have you. And I'm going to inform them that there is a show that's on WBA specifically addressing some of the issues that you're concerned about.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And to the other point, I feel like, you know, the opinions, depending on each of our experiences, vary differently based on who we know, who we interact with, in terms of, you know, what's challenging between black and Jewish communities. In my view, whenever I want to talk about black and Jewish communities, the first people I go to are black Jewish women and black Jewish men and black Jewish people to talk about it, because they're experiencing it from so many ends and are experts to a major degree of like that intersection of it. So at JFRED, we do have Black Jewish Caucus, and I'm going to be drawing a lot, and also kind of thinking of maybe even making a permanent segment or maybe a week, every week or every show, that there is that content, that we lead with that content, because I just think WBI is such a ripe place for that conversation, and it's such a critical time right now. Yeah, it would.
I think it would be stimulating for everybody, the people who are considered Caucasian Jews, black Jews. It would be
absolutely.
Really.
Yeah, and it's needed. It's needed for everyone. So, you know, it's just perfect. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Denise. Are there any other questions for Raphael?
Yeah, Bruce with a snack.
Bruce, go ahead.
All right, yeah, and Denise, I'm just going to share something that Raphael told me when I was trying to get him to agree to come on the call, and he said that he actually asked for people to call in, but he's not getting a lot of calls. So maybe what one of the things Cap could do is, you know, sort of help promote the show out there. And 9 o'clock, you know, you should listen and call in. The other thing is, I'm just saying. The other thing is if the show's pre-recorded, maybe Raphael could do pre-record, you know, 50 minutes and then go live at the end and do 10 minutes of call-ins, you know, based on what the show is. But I just want to say that probably the I worked on Julia Salazar's campaign, and she was a member of the Jews for Justice. And, you know, Raphael's got some incredible smarts in terms of motivate, man, reach out. I mean, a lot of these platforms that help you go find people and then to keep them involved and motivated. So I think we should take him up on his offer, you know, to help, because we're just kind of doing, you know, stuff like cable and palm cards, whatever. The other thing real quick is, you know, I can't speak for Denise, but I think Raphael, if you wanted to send her some palm cards for your show, she would be happy to give them out at the same time as she's giving out the BAI yes. palm cards. I mean, that's up to her. I can't speak for it. So the other thing that I wanted to bring up before we have to go is I wanted Raphael to tell the cab, what can the cab do to help his show? What can we do to help you? And I'll ask Raphael to, you know, to say what kind of stuff can we do to help you? That's it. I'm done.
Mr. All right. Thanks for that. This is Daryl speaking. Yeah, go ahead, Daryl.
Excuse me, as timekeeper, we're going to have to get Mr. Shumanoff's last words and his contact information so that we can resume the conversation on an individual basis, because the time is very tight, all right? And Mr. Shumanoff or Raphael, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Point to extend the time of the guest for 5 minutes. Motion to extend the time of this topic for 5 minutes.
Nobody seconded the motion, Daryl.
I seconded. So, I seconded.
All right, so the motion's been seconded. If there's... Are there any objections to extending this section for another 5 minutes?
I do object. If Raphael gives us the contact information, we can speak to him on an individual basis and get the question that we really want to ask. And at the same time, we'll give him an opportunity to do closing statements so we can really hear what his thoughts are. Pertaining.
Yeah. Well, okay, Denise. But since a motion was made and it was seconded, and there was an objection to it, we're going to have to take it to a vote. So we're going to vote right now. Tom Arata, how do you vote?
Extend.
Okay. All righty. Bruce, how do you vote on extending for 5 minutes?
Extend.
Bruce, extend.
Yes.
Maya, are you here yet? Daryl, how do you vote?
Extend.
Extend. And Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, could you come back to the meeting real quick and vote on this? Eleanor?
I'm here.
Okay. A motion has been made to extend the guest speaker section for another 5 minutes. So how do you vote on that?
Abstain.
You abstain. All right, and
I vote no. Neil,
you vote no, and I abstain. So there's three yeses to extend, one no, and two abstains. So the yes vote has it. So we're going to go for another 5 minutes, and then we will have to wrap it up. So Daryl, you had a question. It has to be quick, Daryl. It has to be a real quick question.
Totally understood. It was a point of information, and it was for Mr. Shimanov. Raphael, the phone system at BAI is totally defective. So oftentimes when they tell you that you're not getting any calls, it's because of the malfunction of the phone system oftentimes. So you might want to ask the engineer to be more aggressive on that, but we need a new phone system, so that's another reason why we need money. Thank you for the point of information.
That's useful to know.
All right. Thanks for that, Daryl. And the chair has a question for Daryl. I mean for Raphael. So in terms of doing your online organizing, do you primarily work off of a an email list or something like that?
Yeah, I work for a coalition called Athena, which opposes Amazon, and it fights them. It works with Amazon workers as well as small businesses and neighborhoods that Amazon moves into, which are almost always black and brown neighborhoods at which they choose to pollute, as well as climate activists. So in that system, I work with a large coalition of organizations, and primarily we're reaching our supporters through email, but also within the organizations, we also reach through texting and social media.
Oh, okay, thanks for that, Raphael. So if you have any concluding statements, you could... Oh, hang on. Was there someone else that had a question for Raphael?
Me, also, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom. Got to be quick.
I think this is exactly what WBAI and Pacifica need. Somebody that's good at digital organizing and contacting people through social media. I think one of the reasons that Obama was successful in his two runs, where he had people that were savvy in that, and he reached a lot of people, and we really need to reach a lot of people that need the information on BAI, and we can't do it the old-fashioned way. And I think digitally organizing and going through texting and social media, that is exactly the future. And we need somebody that knows how to do that, and somebody that knows is here at this meeting. And we just need your skills somehow. Hopefully your skills can be used by the station in Pacifica to get the word out, because people need the message of BAI Pacifica more than ever. So I just wanted to say I'm glad you're here. We need your skills, and I hope our Pacifica and BAI move in that direction, trying to get listeners through digital organizing. I just wanted to make that comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Tom. Raphael, do you want to wrap up and give your concluding statement
to
the
something?
Group? Who's this?
I have a question real quick for Raphael.
Who's speaking?
I'm just anonymous listening in.
Oh, okay. You're anonymous. Okay. You can ask a question.
But
go ahead.
I'll try to be respectful of the 2-minute thing, though. So really quick, do you know that WBAI has a billboard up right now on the New Jersey Turnpike?
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, so it does. And that's awesome and amazing and temporary. So I was wondering if you would be interested in looking into that and then, like, getting a photo of it and then, like, using that as, like, a promo campaign. And, like, look at one of the awesome things that we're up to. Check us out.
Sure, I'll definitely. That's a great idea.
Thanks, man. Bye, guys.
Okay.
I'll just keep listening.
You
guys are all great. You're doing great, everybody.
Okay, Raphael, concluding statement. No, Bruce, Raphael's going to have to wrap it up here. We're running out of time.
So I'm just going to start with my contact information just in case. So it is 718-644-6654. I'm faster via text, but...
All right, 718, right, go ahead, 718.
Repeat.
644.
644.
Right? 1654. I'm sorry. Let me just start over. 718.
Yeah.
644-6654.
6654. All right. Anything else?
R.Shimonov, R.SHIM as in Matthew, U, N as in Nancy, O, V as in Victor, at Gmail. And I just appreciate it. I love for people to, I learned so much just just in this talk for, you know, 30, 25 minutes, and also with the talk with Bruce, and I'd love to learn more, and, you know, I definitely will print those palm cards, and yeah, please feel free to reach me, and I'd love to, exactly what you all said, like, I'm happy to be a bridge of that, like, if I'm needed or useful for the digital stuff. I think a lot of people, especially right now, and like, our other platforms, like, are just so brazenly being taken over by the far right, including Twitter, that people are very much looking at more conventional places that are truly independent still, and BAI is one of those amazing places. So I appreciate you all.
All right, thanks so much for coming, Raphael. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right, guys. So we're going to go back to the agenda now. We're going back to the agenda, and we're on C, announcements. And what I would like to say is that we are going to shoot for ending the meeting no later than 3:30 today if we can. That's going to be our objective. And let me run down how to become a CAB member. Normally, to be a CAB member, you have to be a member of WBAI, and then you have to attend 3 out of 4 CAB meetings, and then you become a member. And of course, you have to announce your name at the meeting so we can keep track of how many meetings you have attended. However, we do have elections coming up in March. And so if you want to become a CAB member for the and vote in the CAB elections, you will have to attend the next 3 CAB meetings, which is this meeting in January, then the February meeting, and then the March meeting. And then you will be eligible to vote in the CAB elections. Denise, are there any other announcements that you want to make?
Well, I think in other business,
All right. We'll do that in other business. All right. So we're back to the agenda. We did the announcements, and so the thing is, the next one is D, which is to read the agenda. So let me just read the whole thing. It's a roll call.
Point of information, please. Point of information.
Go ahead.
Please.
Go ahead.
This is Carolyn Burden, and I just tuned in a little while ago. I'd just like to
welcome
at this meeting. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Great. Okay, let me get your name down here real quick.
Welcome
Carolyn
back.
Carolyn Burden. Thank you. B-I-R-D-E-N. Uh-huh.
How do you spell your last name?
B-I-R-D, as in David, E-N, Burden.
B-I-R. Oh, okay. Thanks so much, Carolyn.
And
thank
Carolyn,
you. All right,
we have contact information, Carolyn?
Yes, my email is the easiest. It's my name backwards, burden.carolyn@yahoo.com.
Okay, thanks, Carolyn. All right, any other announcements, Denise? All right, we're going back to the agenda here. And the next thing on the agenda, if I can find the agenda now, let me finish reading the agenda. So it's A, roll call, B, timekeeper, C, announcements, D, read the agenda, E, December minutes, F, guest speakers, which we already did, G, programming and significant station policy, and H, other issues, I, repeat the announcements, and Jay the next meeting date. So we're going back now to D, not D, to E, which is the December minutes. Tom, do you have them ready?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's run through those.
Okay. There was a WBAI CAB meeting on December 18, 2022 at 1 o'clock, and it was handled by Maestro Conference Calls. Those attending were Neil Voss, Denise Joyce, Bruce Greif, Mayette, Eleanor, Elizabeth Foreman, Jim Dingman, and Tom Murata. Voting members present were Neil Voss, Denise Joyce, Bruce Greif, Mayette, Eleanor, Elizabeth Foreman, and myself. The agenda was A, announcements, B, roll call, C, timekeeper, D, reading and accepting the agenda, E, reading and accepting the November 20th of 2022 minutes, F, guest speakers, G, programming and significant station policy, H, other issues, I, announcements repeated, J, next meeting, the meeting started at 1:07 p.m. The announcements were made to become a CAB member. To become a member of the CAB, a person needs to be a member of the BAI and attend 3 or 4 consecutive meetings. All members will be eligible to vote once they do that. Current office holders will remain in place until that election takes place in March. CAB members and attendees will report by the Wednesday. CAB members and attendees will report by the Wednesday preceding the meeting if they have not heard a cart being played over the air for that meeting, so a correction can be made. The attendance was taken. Quorum was reached. The timekeeper was chosen. Denise Joyce was the timekeeper for the meeting. Under D, the agenda was read. And accepted. Under E, the reading of the minutes of November 20th, of 2022 meeting were read and accepted with amendments. Under E, guest speakers, Jim Dingman gave us a broad overview of the top challenges WBAI and Pacifica were facing and what some of the options were. He took all questions and then left to attend another meeting of Pacifica that addressed the same issues. Under programming and significant station policy, it was reported that the last meeting was the first one recorded of the WBAI CAB meetings and was available on the WPFTX.org website. It could be accessed on that website, and it is in two segments. You can listen to each one. You can read the text of the agenda. You can also download both Part A and Part B. It is an audio recording of the meeting. It was also reported that although the LSB meeting in October didn't reach quorum because of the WBAI fundraiser that was being held at the same time, and the WBAI CAB didn't get to make its report, that in the November meeting there was some time near the end of the that the WBAI CAB was able to make its report. Then the October meeting that WBAI was not able to report, but the end of the November meeting was able to successfully issue its report to the CAB, to the LSB. Under H, other issues, it was suggested that more of us should have each other's contact information. So that information was sent out to everybody that was a member of the CAB. And let's see. I'm just trying to get it. Here it was, and then it was also some of the suggestions that were made. It was suggested to bring back an opera program, possibly on a Sunday morning, and hosted by Chris Wendt or somebody with his ability, because the opera show was good and it raised money. Under I, the announcements were repeated. Under J, the next meeting will be January 15, 2023, at 1 o'clock, and will be held remotely as of now, and held by my Astro conference calls. And then the meeting closed at 3:50, and that was that meeting.
Yeah, Tom, there was one other suggestion in the programming and significant station policy, and that was to have volunteers host a morning music show on WBAI. That probably would be Monday through Friday. Volunteers would host the show. Yes, that was the suggestion that we made.
So there would be like not just have music in the evening, but to have a morning time slot.
Yes.
Okay, I'll add that in. Under other issues, yes.
All right. Are there any objections to the December minutes? Hearing none, the December minutes pass, and we'll proceed with the with our agenda here. And F was guest speakers. Now we had our guest speaker, unless someone else is on the line.
Neil, could I ask one question? Were we able at the last LSB meeting to get our suggestions through? The one like this month?
No. The last LSB meeting, which was last Wednesday, they had a lot of LSB stuff to do, and the program director and the CAB did not get on. And so hopefully at the next LSB meeting, we'll be able to give a report. But besides not being able to give the report, we were on the agenda, and that's very important to also note that we were on the agenda, but the meeting ran out of time and we couldn't make the report.
Could I ask a silly question? Is there any chance that if we can't make the suggestions during the meeting, we could just send a short email with them or something? In other words, it gets attached to their meeting or something?
That might be possible. There weren't that many suggestions for this past LSB meeting. So I think that possibly if we have a meeting where we have a lot of suggestions, that might be a good idea to do.
Great. Okay.
Possibly I'd be able to send it to the chair of the LSB, and then the chair would be able to forward it to all of the members. Well,
great.
I'll have to look into that.
Thank you.
All right. So now we're on G. Of programming and significant station policy. So we're looking for some ideas for this month to give to the station. It could either be for a new show, or how to improve an existing show, or any other idea.
Denise on staff.
Denise, go ahead.
I think the Community Advisory Board might want to submit a new program profile so that there would be a little room for listeners' calls and connecting or dialoguing with the actual guest, as opposed to having the producer answer questions that the caller is really posing to the guest that they had on. Reducing the music time, things of that nature, so that we could get the information that the guests would like to give. We can hear music anytime, weather anytime, news anytime, but we can't get the information that the WBAI guests that are on the station and the callers who want to ask questions. We need to really push back a lot of the fluff and really get to the essence of the programming and the questions and concerns that the listeners have. So perhaps the Community Advisory Board could author a kind of a different type of profile so that we can get more subject matter discussed and aired.
All right, so let me figure that out, what you just said, Denise. So what you're saying is that at the end of a program, the host
I think we should just right now, this is just a suggestion. We need to kind of get the profile together as the community listeners, and then perhaps submit it next month. But we might want to really look at the profile of the programming so that it might be a little more beneficial to the listener. And I'm sure listeners have their ideas. We are all listeners. And so perhaps we can compile those ideas and then submit it.
Well, where would you get the profile of different shows?
Well, for instance, the AM show, the 7 to 8 o'clock show, has news, has an announcement of weather, has at least 3 to 4 music segments, and a really crunched period for dialogue with the guest and the listeners. So that could be looked at as community listeners as to what we think might make for a better show and make it more popular for the listeners to be receptive to. I would like to hear more of what the guest has to say, more of what the community is concerned about pertaining to what the guest says, and hearing the voice of the listener, hearing the voice of the guest, as opposed to getting the weather, getting like music. Perhaps we can make the music for a minute instead of like a whole. You know, that's the kind of listener that I am. I want information because I can't get it anyplace else. I can get the weather on my phone. I can get the news, you know, such as it is, on my phone. This is just one listener. This is a suggestion. I think this is something that we might want to look at as the community advisor.
All right. So it's to have the program director cut out the news and the weather report.
Okay.
And possibly some of the music.
No, just the community advisory board would like to submit perhaps a different profile for programming. So you don't have to specify that will be forthcoming, because you don't want to jump the gun and say different things that I'm not even exactly saying. But I think the profile of the programming, particularly in the morning, could be changed so that we can get more of the essence of the program that they're trying to present, as opposed to information that I can get elsewhere easily. Well, you know, so if you just put community advisory board, we'll ultimately submit a new program profile or something of that nature, would like to make a suggestion for a new program profile, and that it will be submitted perhaps in February. I mean, that way we can look at what we're saying.
All right. So what you're suggesting is that we create a program profile that we could submit.
Yeah.
And that would be a generic program profile that all the programs could use?
I shouldn't have said anything, but it's just something that I've been thinking about. There's a profile that is needed for the AM programs, like the 7 to 8 program. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are programs for the afternoon that they have a certain kind of makeup that the listeners, the community, might want to give suggestions. That's what we're supposed to do, to make the programming more attractive to the listeners so we can generate more listeners. And some of the things that I see, I think they might want to look at. I just don't want to do it in a fast and abrupt way so that they could just throw it up in the air. If it's done with a lot of forethought and between all of us, we can really get the voice of our community. Do you know what I mean?
Quick question for Denise.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you mean, my love, proposal, which is another word for suggestion, which is different than profile?
No, profile actually means profile. The AM programming has a profile. They have a news announcement. They have segments where they play music in between each of the segments. They have weather. These things I don't really feel are beneficial for me as a listener. I can get the weather on my phone, or the producer can very quickly give the weather, as opposed to taking like 5 minutes for that and a minute for a music segment, and sometimes there are four of them. And the hour is very precious to me. I want to get as much of the wealth of the programmer has to give and as much as the wealth of the listener has to provide for the program itself. I agree.
I agree with you with the weather and the news, especially since the news comes on at 8. That's all.
Yes.
Just wanted to throw that out there in the working puzzle.
I'm just going to interject again. Instead of doing in a glib, fast way, it would be nice if we could hear the voice of all of the people that are at the meeting here and any feedback that we might get from other listeners. Do you know what I mean? And then submit it so that it would be very solid and won't be just dismissed as, you know, oh, they're trying to, you know what I mean, how things manifest sometimes when the listener suggests we really want to tighten up our stuff. This is January 1st, New Year. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's do it right because we don't have too many chances to get it wrong anymore.
Okay. Thanks, Jenny. So basically, you're...
Think about.
Yeah. All right. So... Yeah, hang on, Daryl. Let me just get this out. So you're suggesting possibly that something that could be put on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yes, that the Community Advisory Board think about submitting a new profile for the AM program. There are different types. There's the AM program that happens 5 days a week. There are different afternoon programs. Programs that cover medicine, cover politics. We just have to start to listen, look, and we're representing the community. And so that's why I said we want to get a little more feedback before we throw that out to the station. But we're talking amongst each other because we want to improve what we currently have. And we want it to be reflective of the community. Right now, we are us five or six or seven people represent the community. We might want to canvas a little bit more so that we can get a better understanding of what the listener would like to hear.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that, Denise. That was you, Daryl? You wanted to be on the stack?
Yes, please.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. With regard to Denise's excellent suggestion about program profile analysis. If I'm understanding correctly, what we would do is listen to each show, see how it's structured, see how we could get more. Gosh, get more
wealth, benefits,
listener
information.
Listener participation.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Listener participation and more of the essence of things that you failed to hear anywhere else. With regard to changing programming, I'm unclear as to whether you're experiencing this. The Linda Perry Barr, the program director, it appears, yanked shows without the host being able to say goodbye, inserts new shows, and you fail to know what happened, why it happened. There's also a challenge around a couple of shows that I'd like to make comments on. One is Green Street. They cut it down to a half an hour, and they have some of the most cutting-edge information on the environment. They move the other environmental show, Ecologic, to 6 o'clock in the morning, which is inconvenient for some of the hosts, so that's where they do have a call-in section. However, they also have a pre-recorded section because of the timing. After one of the greatest interviews that I've heard on BAI with Y, formerly Eve Ensler, with Dream Leapers.
Mm-hmm.
Help me with this because we're having moments here.
It is
here.
Dream Leaper.
Harriet Cole.
Yes.
They cut her down to a half an hour and gave her a choice of, well, if you want to keep an hour, you can go into the early morning, or you can have a half an hour at 2:30. So that 2 o'clock strip, most of the shows on the strip need to be an hour. So I noticed that the iatrogenic and standard psychiatry show on Monday is an hour, a trauma code. But however, on Wednesday and on Tuesday, the shows are a half an hour. We need to look at that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
So that's why we're saying let's not do this in a glib fashion. Let's get together. Let's really look at it. Each of us listen to a program or whatever and give some evaluation and then move forward in a collective statement that represents the community, our community. And let's ask around
okay, so
as well.
However, along with that, the point that I'm making is that the program director is failing to consider the population that's listening to the station, and we have these changes that, okay, let's say that I said refer, I wanted to refer someone to listen to Dream Leapers, and it was formerly on, let's say it was on at 10 o'clock on Thursdays for an hour, and all of a sudden, oh, no, that's not it, it's on Tuesday at 3, there needs to be some lead-in. So my suggestion is that if there's going to be a program change, there's a two-week announcement or something to that effect so that we can get prepared for the change.
Just a point of a notice or whatever.
I'm done.
We did submit that.
We did
submit that notation in September. It was September. We submitted that to the to Berto and Linda in a statement. That was submitted before.
This is Neil.
I was unaware of that. However, she just did it again with another show.
Mario's here.
Hang on, Mario.
Put me on a stack.
Daryl and Denise, what was proposed was that the shows, the changes in the shows be announced, but I don't believe that we had asked for a two-week notice on program changes. So that is something that's a little bit new.
Yes, the 2 weeks, yes.
Yeah.
Just as a point of information, I'm not holding anybody to 2 weeks, but what I'm saying is there needs to be some kind of preparation and an exiting of one host and an introduction of a new show rather than, oh, gosh, where did Malika Lee Whitney go?
I understand what you're saying, Daryl, and we'll kind of repeat that that suggestion to what the next LSB. Anyone else?
Lengthening. The other thing is lengthening the shows that need to be lengthened to an hour, so that you're able to get calls.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If they're
yeah.
bringing in money.
Right. So basically, are you suggesting that the WBAI afternoon shows all be an hour?
No. What I'm saying is that...
We're going to have to stay with the 3 minutes. I apologize.
I'm going to stop.
All right.
If I need to clarify, what I'm saying, Neil, is that there are shows that either were an hour or could be expanded to an hour to increase. If the point is listener participation...
Let me run this by you real quick, Daryl.
Yes.
And that is that sometimes the producer themselves wants to cut his time. He just wants to have a half-hour show. So, I mean, you got to find out if that's producer-generated or program director-generated.
So
do you follow what I'm saying?
One of the shows that I'm talking about, Dr. Minefield with, I'm having challenges here, Minefield, whenever Doc gets the time, he raises funds and he uses the time. And he and they've actually given him time because he was raising funds, and there were occasions in which Dr. McIntosh. So that's the point that I was making about that. The other piece is okay when his two half-hour shows, a psychiatrist in each section. What happened to Harriet Fraud?
Yeah. All right, Daryl. Thanks.
As a timekeeper for the next people, I'm going to be very careful as well. We have to stay within the 3 minutes. Otherwise,
yeah, the 3 minutes. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
we do. All right.
My time. Who is the next speaker? Neil, can you look at your?
Well, I don't have anybody on stack right now. Who wants to be
Mario
on stack?
Said something.
Mario.
Yeah.
All right, Mario. You're
Mario,
up next.
Starting time.
3 minutes. Go ahead, Mario.
Well, number one, it just came up in the moment. I tuned in about 20 minutes ago when, just the last 20 minutes when the last two speakers spoke. So a little clarity on that is, I don't know which meeting it was, but it was Berthold directly stated. It was either the report to the listener, the last one, or the finance committee, or it was at the he called in to the report to the listener when Sean was running the meeting. That was the last one, the LSB report. So it was either the LSB report to the listener, he called in, or it was the report to the listener from Linda and himself, I'm going to name all three, or it was the finance meeting. And what he said there was, I'm going to move shows around, and they have to raise money. And if they don't raise money, they're on notice. They're going to be cut. They're going to be cut or they're going to be moved. That's it. I'm tired of this. Something to that. You know, I'm paraphrasing. So, and Linda, you know, didn't chime in. So that's why, you know, shows are being moved in my, you know, based on that. They're being moved. They're being cut. It could be, like you suggested a minute ago, Neil, the producer saying, well, you're going to move me and I just want to do a half hour. Or it could be a combination of a few different things. But right from the horse's mouth, he said, I'm moving people. Now, he's not moving the new people so much. He's bringing them in. And then there are some untouchables that he cannot touch. You know, he just cannot touch. I won't name them. You'll see it for yourself. But that brings a little clarity. You know, he said that he was going to move people because they got to raise $230 a show or something, $280 a show. That's what they divided the $120,000 a month to. But then I chimed in the last LSB meeting and said that it's not proper or fair, if you want to use the word fair, to have a show in the overnight, not in prime time, to have to raise the same amount of money. The prime time show should have to raise the lion's share of the money. Between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Anybody else, it should be a little less. You know, how does the 5 a.m. show or the 3 a.m. show, they're going to raise? Now, $230 or $280 is not a lot, but that would make it easier. You know, if all the producers raise that much money per show, you know. So that can open
up
the grid.
Mario, excuse me.
Yeah.
Your time is up. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for that, Mario. I just want
to
address what.
Tom?
Okay, Tom, you're on the stack. I just want to address one thing that Mario said, and that is that at the last LSB meeting, Berthold did say that he does not expect the overnight shows to raise that kind of money, that shows that are not prime time will be they'll be given a certain amount of a leeway, and they don't have to raise the same amount that prime time shows have to raise. All right, Tom, you're next up.
Yes.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I'd like to say I agree where Denise's heart is. on programming. You want to get all that good content out at as much as you can, as much as possible. You want to get all the meat and potatoes. But I remember when I went to the Left Forum, and when there was a table there, I think the last time we had a table at the Left Forum before the pandemic, might have been 2018, that Frank Lefevre sent me out, and he said, don't just sit here behind the table. Go out there and talk to the people and interview people and find out what they listen to. So he asked me to ask them, what do you listen to in the morning? So I asked all these progressive people, what do you listen to in the morning? Do you listen to BAI? I heard of BAI, but they want the weather, they want the transit and stuff like that mixed in. They just can't take like 60 minutes of heavy information all the way through. That's one of the reasons, even on Democracy Now, they have some music interludes. You need the music interludes because you get all this heavy information and you have the music in between for 2.5 minutes. It gives you a chance to rest and digest what you just heard. You need that. So when I interviewed those people at the Left Forum, they said, I just want, a little bit of light stuff, basic information about the day, and then I'll listen to some political stuff, but they're not ready that in the morning when they're getting ready to work or even driving to work to have 50 minutes of hard-hitting stuff about what the United States is doing in South America, in Asia, in Europe or Africa. It's just too much meat and potatoes all at one time. You need that weather. You need the update, the basic headlines. You need that music in between so you could digest all that heavy stuff. So I think the balance that Linda Perry has put forward, it's not by accident. It's not just filler stuff. It's to give a person's mind a chance to relax in between these heavy things that they're getting. So there is a lot of meat and potatoes in those programs, but you need some interludes in between. You need some bumper music, and I like the way those programs are presented. Good information, but you need some rest in between the heavy information.
Well, okay, thanks for that, Tom. Let me ask if Judith Ackerman is still here. Are you here,
yes.
Judith?
Yes.
Okay. Do you had a suggestion that you told me before the meeting. Do you want to repeat that again about the radio station in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I feel that the people that administrate the station, WBAI, in any way should turn on WURD. You can get it through the Internet. Capital W, capital U, capital R, capital D. As in dog word, and it's
so that would be dot word.
WURD. It's a radio station in Philadelphia, and it's community radio, and it works so well. And what they do is they have local support. Now, when we used to do fundraisers and have marathons, we used to promote local businesses by their contributing food to the people doing the marathon. There's no reason we can't do local, in Brooklyn, small businesses that support WBAI and very inoffensive one-liners. And they would support BAI. They would, and they're non-right-wing. I mean, there would be, make sure that they're not right wing, that they're in favor of BAI, and they're leftists. And there are a lot of small businesses that would love to support BAI.
Daryl,
okay, hang on, Daryl.
That's how Word supports itself. It's not. It feels non-commercial because it's not offensive. It's not stuck like NPR is right wing, is not right wing. It's very conservative because they're scared of their sponsors of these huge multi corporation things that are right wing. So they're very conservative as a result of that. But this is a station that really is community radio, and people speak their minds. They had a 3-hour special on Mumia Abu-Jamal. They do real good stuff, and it's not offensive.
Not
control. They don't control. Those local people that support the station do not control.
All right, Judith, what is the How do you get a hold of them on, not the call letters. How do you get a hold of them on Google? It's what?
WURD.org?
WURD.org.
WURD.org. WURD Philadelphia Radio Station. Just write that down.
Oh, okay. And then it'll pop up then. All
and
right.
Then you listen
okay.
to it. They have live stream.
Neil, Mario to the stack.
Right, right. Hang on, Mario. Somebody's ahead of you. All right. Thanks for that, Judith. Daryl, I think you were next on the stack. Who was ahead of?
It's Daryl. Daryl is next on the stack.
Yeah. He just wants
to.
Okay. Thanks, Daryl. Mario, go ahead.
It's just kind of a statement, but also the last speaker just mentioned something. It made me think of something. What do you mean right wing is not allowed? It's a community radio station, so you follow the bylaws. So if they're not, anybody can get a show or should be able to get a show on WBAI, as long as they follow the FCC and they're not breaking any laws based on the bylaws. I don't see anywhere it says in there political party or persuasion. So this is the first time I'm actually addressing this ever. Never mentioned this before. I just don't see that. That's what why it makes me think a lot. I don't want to say laugh.
Point of information.
And I said that just followed the bylaws because the bylaws are clear. And if
point
we don't follow the bylaws.
Yeah, hang on, Denise. Let Mario finish.
If we don't
go
follow
ahead,
the bylaws, then you basically have anarchy. And this is what happens. Now, the other thing is that we could only do so much. I think we, as a cab, I go back years and I'm saying if we organized a certain way, we could actually create more results. But I don't want to get into that now, and I would be repeating myself again. The LSB, the two or three parties in the LSB have a stronghold on the running of the station, in my opinion. Management gets to put their things in there. Now, what came out in the report, the LSB report, the last one, was that I was sad to hear that Linda Perry was one of the causative problems to that $300,000 lawsuit. And so there's no accountability. You have a program director that caused the station a lot of money and a general manager who keeps her there. I'm sorry. There was a woman who called into that show and said, how long are we going to have to put up with the same people who keep messing up? Nice people. You meet them in a store. You meet them in life. Nice people. I said it. But when you come into the BAI world, I have to notice, I can't help but notice, how dysfunctional, how angry and fearful and egotistical these people get. And they don't follow the bylaws. Very simple. Right? So, what else are you going to do? How are you going to make the LSB accountable?
Your time is up.
How are you going to make the LSB
accountable? Your time is up. Excuse me, Mario.
Your time is up, Mario.
That's the question.
All right.
If they want to choose to address it.
Denise,
go ahead, Denise. You had a point that you wanted to make.
From what I understand, you see, I'm not defending anyone, but I understand that suit was based on one statement. There's no one here that is a robot. And sometimes you'll say things that you regret, or you forget that people are out to get you, so you have to always, in my opinion, kind of a situation. So I don't think there's anybody who's perfect that doesn't make any mistakes from a verbal standpoint. That's all I have to say. And pertaining to Judith had said, we used to do that. In fact, I got to know the Westerly's grocery store, which is a health food store in the city, through WBAIs because they used to send food when we would do fundraising and we would take calls. We can do, I think that's a very positive suggestion because it is a way to, again, quote-unquote, support the community. And it is a positive statement because the community, it is a store run or small group of people who have a business that belongs to community members. It's not a big corporation. So I would love to hear a commercial like that. And Tom was saying, I'm not against hearing any music, but I'm against hearing a lot of music and times and what have you. I would prefer to hear something positive like, this particular store is supporting WBAI. This is their location, and this is what they offer you. That would make me feel very good. I could tell that we are supporting the community, because this is what the station is supposed to do, support the 99%. Okay, I'm off.
All right. Thanks, Denise. Listen, I just want to make a quick announcement about we're getting some background noise coming into the meeting from somebody's phone. If you could just please...
The way to mute...
I think she muted her phone already. Yeah. I don't think it's Eleanor. So
if somebody's having a conversation in the background.
Yeah, at a Maestro meeting, if you want to mute your phone so you can talk to somebody else, you just hit the number 6. Just hit the number 6, and that will mute you so that you will not disrupt the meeting. And then if you want to unmute yourself, then just hit 6 again, and you will be unmuted. Okay, now I'd like to address something that Mario said about the suit, and there were two key mistakes made about over that issue. The one mistake was that what's the fella's name? Neil somebody? The one who took over the station back in October of 2019.
Well, he's the person who brought the suit.
Yeah, yeah. What was his name again? I forget his name.
Right now.
All right. So he's the one who attacked the station. Men came in there carrying guns, and they took over the station. And that was all done without Pacifica National approval. And so the comment that I have to make is that why wasn't this guy Neil, why wasn't he sued over that? I mean, he should have been sued for all of the money that WBAI lost because we were doing a fundraiser. The other thing that I want to comment about is it was a terrible mistake for that suit to be heard in California courts. California courts are not sympathetic to Pacifica. They're antagonistic to Pacifica. You know, Neil lives, I believe, on Long Island, and the incident happened at 388 Atlantic Avenue when he took over the station, and Linda made the comment on WBAI, which was in Brooklyn, New York, and that suit should have been heard in New York courts. It was a big mistake to allow that suit to be heard in California courts. So that's all I got to say.
So
you don't think it makes any difference, Daryl?
No, point of information.
Go ahead, Daryl. Go ahead, real quick.
The reason the suit was heard in California is because Pacifica, that's where their legal stuff happens.
Yeah, I have another.
Yeah, I realize that, Daryl. But everything that happened in New York. So, hang on, Mario. It's just my opinion. I believe that they could have fought to have a change of venue and had it heard in New York courts. So go ahead, Mario.
Okay. Well, first, I want to clarify that my reason for bringing that up was not to go into the fine details of these things. It was to How do we hold people accountable who either don't listen, don't pay attention, or say they're going to look at that and don't? How do somebody messes up, and then how do you, you know, you find out about it, and how do you keep them, you know, make it? It was about accountability. So how do we make the LSB accountable? How do we make the management accountable as members of the station? That was my point. Now, the point of information, the other point of information was, you could just look up W Pacifica Radio lawsuits, and then it will come up, and it will explain it in detail why it was done that way, and why, how the decision was made. And just a little thing about that, they lost $305,000. And there's people in Pacifica who want to appeal this. But to appeal it, they have to put up a $450,000 bond. And we need to watch this, because as we're talking about programming and we want to move this and move a checker piece there, they're playing chess with the money of Pacifica, which we don't have. And so for vendettas, if they go ahead with that appeal, they have to put up they have to secure $450,000. Where did they get that from if it happened? Well, keep an eye on this. First of all,
We will, Mario. We will.
All right. Read what it says about Pacifica or BAI lawsuits, and it'll come up in Google, and you'll see the details and the people's names. And one last thing, go to that show, the LSB report, which was, I forgot the date. But go and listen to the second call, the second hour. Paul DiRienzo calls in and outs a lot of things also.
Okay, Mario. Thanks.
Thank you very
much. All right. Denise, you're up next. Go ahead, Denise.
Darryl for the staff.
Mario.
You'll be after Denise.
Okay. Mario, if you have that information, as a listener, a community member, why didn't you pose that question at the meeting so that
would
be obligated, whichever meeting? You said that you Googled Pacifica lawsuits and you got the information that would be $300,000 or something of that nature to countersuit. And why aren't the people who are making the mistakes accountable? If you have that information and you're part of the community and you have a half an hour during the LSB meeting to pose, to make a statement because you're part of the community, then that's the time for you to make pose the question, how are you going to make the people who make these mistakes accountable? What would be done going forward? Since you are a community person and you have that information, it might be you might want to pose that question to the LSB at the LSB meeting.
May I answer that, Neil?
About the Google. Denise, go ahead.
We're not having private conversations here, guys. Hang on, Mario. It's a question. Darryl is next on the stack.
Okay.
And guys, we're dying.
Neil is beautiful. Mario responded.
You got to make it a quick, Mario. It's got to be like a minute or less.
At the last LSB meeting, I called in. I didn't catch the meeting from the beginning. I called in at 9:30 because historically that's when they were taking the calls. So I called in at 9:30, and about 10 minutes later or 15 minutes later, I did get through, and I brought something else up. And my next point was going to be to bring that up, accountability and Linda and this lawsuit and the $450,000 bond. But Michael White made a motion as chair and someone else to end the meeting and not take any more calls. They had started the calls a little earlier, which was interesting. And then he ended it right after me and ended the call. Said, oh, unfortunately, we're going to stop right here and we didn't get to this and we didn't get to that. So that's an answer to your question there. But now,
thank you, Mario.
Okay, that's it. Your minute is up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mario. Darryl is next on the stack. And guys, you can comment on what's going on here, Daryl. But we do have to come up with some more suggestions, if possible, on programming and significant station policy. And
okay.
Significant station policy covers fundraising, so that's fair game for our meeting. So
okay.
Daryl, you're next on the stack.
Couple of things. One, the URL or the website address for Word Radio in Philadelphia is wordradio.com. With regard to the program, there's a history around Word. There was another station that was an inner city broadcasting station, which was actually affiliated with WLIB in New York. However, it's rooted in the community. It's a really interesting story, and it is a very eclectic station, targeted primarily at the African American community. With regard to WBAI, I think it's very myopic, and I think it's definitely anti-Lewis Hill to restrict any producer who's producing quality programming, especially if the person's bringing in money, as to their politics, their gender, their sexuality. I think you want quality producers giving information that's available only through Pacifica. So I understand the position of people who have been shut out, that their message fails to get through often, meaning quote-unquote progressives, communists, et cetera. However, I think it's also illegal to limit anybody's ability to express what it is that they think. Let it go at that, because I'm having moments here.
Daryl, I'd like to comment about that issue of having right wing radio on WBAI, and the only thing that I could say about that is try to get a progressive show, you know, on Fox, you know, or CBS or NBC. It's not going to happen. The station management reserves the right to choose who their producers are going to be, who's going to be the host of their shows. So that's all I have to say about that. Anyone else? Daryl, go ahead.
Put me on the stack again, Neil, regarding.
Okay. All right, Daryl is first. Go ahead, Daryl.
The other piece that I'd like to speak on is, especially with regard to the programming, is that, A, if we're going to ask for money, we need to be very specific. And I checked Mario's figures, and it is, if we raise $300 an hour on average, then we would be pulling in $2 million a year. In that context, three people have used... Go to Google on this call. Why not go to Good Search and give BAI the penny? That's the point that I'm making. The other piece that I'm saying to you is that if you act like the oppressor, you will be the oppressor. And so I believe, what's his name? Firing line host. William Buckley had a show. Ian Rand had a show on Pacifica. I mean, if you want to get your message out, then it needs to be compared with the insanity that you're attempting to replace. And what I really want to emphasize is, unless we use Good Search, why would anybody else use Good Search? Thank you.
Okay, Daryl, thanks. So let me ask you a question here. So are you, in a roundabout way, suggesting that it would be good for listenership to have a right-wing host on on WBAI to possibly increase listenership?
Yes, because yes, in the context that, then that right-wing listener may stay on and listen to something that Richard Wolff has to say, or that Max Blumenthal has to say, or that the folks at Green Street have to say, or that Gary Null has to say. I mean, the idea is, how are you going to convince those people who are in a cocoon that their cocoon is made of poison as compared to made of something healthy? They're listening to what they're listening to because it makes them feel comfortable, and it's killing them. Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. All right, I got it, Daryl.
And the other thing is, Neil, the last thing is, we're talking money here. We live in a capitalist society, right? I would even take money from ExxonMobil and then use that money to destroy ExxonMobil. No, you can't do that. They're polluting the atmosphere. They knew all this time. I don't care. Give me the money, and I'll show you how to destroy them within a week. Think about
all
it.
Right,
I love
all
Venezuela, right? However, I really would rather Venezuela kept its oil in the ground.
All right, your time is up, Daryl. Thanks for that. Mario, you're next on the stack.
Thank you. It goes back to a question I asked 10 years ago in the cab, and I keep asking it. How do you get a show on WBAI? What I'm asking is, where's the structure that is transparent so that I can see nobody jumped the line, nobody's getting favoritism, the bylaws are being followed, the mission statement's being followed to a high degree, nobody's perfect, nothing's, to use that phrase, right? But 90-some-odd percent follow the bylaws, follow the mission statement. I agree with Daryl that you have Gary tries to put these, he invites people on. A lot of times they don't come on, he says, meaning the other side, to get the other opinion. And so if they're not breaking any laws, and they want now, one difference that you mentioned compared to those commercial radio stations and shows, they're owned by corporations. And they have a corporate board. BAI is a community radio station that says, you know, has its Bible, so to speak, or its Quran, or its Torah, and that's the bylaws, and that's, you know, what they figured out for a while and voted on it and all that stuff. So they don't follow it. The LSB, what came out at that report to that listener, and this has to do with programming. The LSB doesn't do about 13 things or 12 things that it's mandated to do, has a fiduciary duty to do. So how do you get a show? Maybe, you know, if the Community Advisory Board comes up with a standard, how do you apply for a show? Linda says, look, you just send an essay or a press kit and to Bertold, and we'll look at it. Well, then that's not a community way to do it. That's a commercial way to do it. A community radio entity or a community group has a standard that sort of makes it pleases itself. It doesn't make the management and the program director exclusive to the structure. There's a core structure that even is above them, that they don't have control of. They shouldn't, because they could show favoritism, even internal politics. I think I got about 10, 15 seconds. And so there needs to be a transparent, follow the bylaws structure. How do you apply for a show? Are you on a waiting list? Is there a place for new people to start their show and move into a prime time? Is there a waiting list? You know? If you go to...
Your time is up.
Yeah, all right. If you go to any other community place, you see how they
Your
run
time
it too.
Is
the
up.
Affiliate.
Okay, Mario. Your time is up, Mario.
Yeah,
all right, listen, guys.
On the affiliates come on and say, how do you...
Yeah. You know, Mario, you're being rude.
Mario. Mario, your time is up.
It up, Neil. People have gone over.
No, be respectful to the community that's listening. You have 3 minutes.
Okay.
You took 3 minutes, all right?
You know, you also...
Next person, please.
Mario, your time is up, please.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We are still on programming and significant station policy. And significant station policy does include fundraising. So do we have any suggestions for DLSB and the station? Denise, you're up next. Go ahead, Denise.
We should take Mario's suggestion and pose this question. How do we get a show on the air? Please forward a profile, a detailed profile, as to how that is accomplished. In addition to that, if someone submits a show, please also send some type of confirmation to the sender. So that's a question about program policy. They need to tell us how you get a show, give us a detailed point-by-point description as to what is required, and once someone submits their show suggestion, that they should have received a confirmation that they received it, so they'll get an idea of where they stand from the standpoint of getting a response. So that's a question that Mario just posed that can be submitted to the suggestions for programming.
All right, I added it to the page, Denise. Thanks for that. Okay, are there any other people? Are there anyone else want to be on the stack?
Judith Ackerman.
Judith, go ahead.
To outreach, I think that there should be tabling at all the street fairs in the city. There's tabling there for WBAI, promoting WBAI. Have people there. People can come and speak to them during the thing. And because it's a not-for-profit, they won't charge the way they do if someone's selling sunglasses. It should be explored. It's another avenue to broaden our base, to broaden our listenership, and also maybe books or things could be sold at that table as well.
Okay. Thanks for that, Judith. I appreciate it. Any other suggestions for programming and significant station policy?
Yes, Neil, I got a suggestion. 1:30.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. I invite anybody on the board here on this community committee to go to their local borough and look up their cable station, the community cable station. In the Bronx, it's BronxNet, and it's by Lehman College. And I went there once to apply for a show, but I didn't follow up. And I had to pay, they charge $100, and you have to take a course within the company, within the entity, to learn how to use the camera. That's all they require. And they want to know, do you want to use a remote camera, or you're going to use the camera in the studio? And I only got that far. But they have to give you a show. If I live in the Bronx, there's one in Queens, and there's one in Manhattan. That's Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
And there's one in Brooklyn.
If they have to be able to tell you how they go about doing this, by law, they're getting money from the government. They have tax exemptions and all this stuff. So BAI is the same thing. They can be held accountable that they don't have a structure. I've been saying this for years. The structure is not send an application to Berthold and we'll see. That's not right. So when again, I go back to accountability. Every little thing, it's exhausting, but there's people who go off on their own, they're tangent, they don't follow the bylaws, they're not following the mission statement, and the whole thing is wrong. And you have to pick your fight. Like, what do you do now? That's a lot of work. Yeah, you now have to go find out that BAI is a community radio station. that doesn't have a structure that equal for everyone. It's a power structure within. Okay? So you pick a fight. You pick any one of these things, and you have to see it through. Do you try to stop lawsuits? Do you try to fundraise? Do you try to straighten out the programming, and how do you do that? Pick one. But it's going to be a lot of work, but you will get the answer. There, someone will be made accountable. You know, BAI is not allowed to just do come see, come saw with radio shows. They never were.
You've expired.
Your time is up, Mario.
But it's okay. I got my point across.
All right. Thanks for that, Mario. All right. And anyone else for the stack for programming and significant station policy? And any other ideas? Denise, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think that Berto should really follow through on his statement pertaining to when a producer has a guest on a guest that has a book, he or she should ask for at least 5 or 10 complimentary books. This is not begging. The producer is literally publicizing that particular person's work, giving them PR, free PR. They should be happy to give 5 or 10 complimentary books, and that should be a policy. It should not be a request, or it would be nice if you do it. No, it should absolutely be a requirement, because the WBAI airwaves is very valuable. And if a producer has a person on that they think their work merits to be spoken about on their program, they should say to that person, we will greatly appreciate your providing 5 to 10 complimentary books. And that is a requirement in order for me to have the pleasure of pointing your excellent work out to our listeners. And I can't think of any writer who would say no. That's something
Darryl
that producer
said.
Must do. Okay, for us to raise money. Darryl said if you raise $300 or $200, we could have quite a bit of money in the coffers. We are benefiting the artist, and we are benefiting the radio station. And it's fair, and it's equitable.
Okay, all right, thanks for that, Denise.
Could I go on this?
Okay,
Neil?
Thanks. Yeah, I think Darryl is ahead of you, Tom. Darryl,
okay.
You're next.
Really quickly.
Darryl.
Really quickly, what was the point? With regard to making requests, you need to get a legal position on how you make that request in the context of the Paola scandals of the 1950s. The piece that I would like to emphasize is filling out the information sheet next to your program, each and every program, so that it can be accessed through the archives much more easily. That's something that they really need to follow up on. Berthold Reimers brought that up, and you go back to see who was on a show, or you want to refer it to something. It would be really helpful if the producers filled in those program notes. Thank you.
All right, so you're asking for producers to fill in their program notes. Darryl?
Darryl, are you confirming that?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we lost Darryl somehow. Yeah, I don't hear Darryl.
Yeah.
All right, so he's asking for producers to fill out their program notes. All right, we'll leave it at that. Mario, you're next.
Timekeeper.
Hang on, Mario.
It was Tom.
Tom is first. That's right. Tom is next.
As the timekeeper, I just want to say that we have a half an hour to complete several different categories. So I think.
All right. We're going to have to wrap this up pretty soon. And thanks for that notification, Denise. I needed that.
Just doing my job.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. Tom, you're up.
I just wanted to echo something I heard on Reports of the Listener when Denise Joyce called, and she had like three or four good suggestions, and one of them was athletes that are sort of sympathetic to BAI Pacifica. If at some event or some type of thing was set up to where they could autograph T-shirts or something, and they can be auctioned off or sold or turned into a value for the station. Like they could sign something, and then people could sort of buy them or something like that. I don't know how that would be set up, but it's a potential. It's not a lot of work on their part, and could raise money for the stations. I think that should be thought about. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm kind of working on it already with one of the producers that used to work with us. With WBAI, and he's very sympathetic and receptive to WBAI.
Great.
Okay, thanks for that, Tom. Maria, you got to wrap it up quick now, because we've got to move on.
Just a date. Yeah, I have the date. January, for everyone here, January 3rd on Tuesday was the LSB report from the members. They call it the LSB members report to the listener. It was, I believe, 7 to 10, or it was 9 to 11. But you'll see it in the archives. It says LSB special. And just scroll to that date, January 3rd, Tuesday in the evening, and look, and you'll see LSB special, 2 hours. You'll hear the report from Marilyn Downey, and the other person did not show up. He wasn't able to make it. And then the second hour you had, I forgot, but... they have both people were there, and you want to listen to the calls, especially the second hour, which was, I believe, the half hour, and it'll talk about some people who called in questions and some answers and suggestions, and also Paul Dorienzo calling in and talking about the lawsuits, talking about Arthur Schwartz, believe it or not, he mentions. He gives a little report about Arthur Schwartz and some things that he found out about Arthur Schwartz. Okay, so tune in there.
All right. Thanks, Mario. Guys, we got to wrap this section up here, and we're going to move on to H on the agenda, other issues. And I believe, Denise, you had a couple of things that you wanted to raise at this time.
Yes,
one of them
I wanted to... have the people who wanted to run for a position in the community advisory board, who have already announced their names, and anyone who wants to announce their name currently, to give just a basic termination or platform pertaining to their running for the position.
Okay, and was there a second item that you wanted to talk about?
I did want to speak about, there's a gentleman named Russell who calls in on occasion, and he called in at the LSB meeting stating that, I'll only give myself a minute, stating that he's been, producers are saying, are boycotting him, saying he cannot be on their program on air. And I don't think that should ever be allowed. If the caller is respectful, on topic and succinct, no one should be banned from any of the shows. This is a community radio station. They all say, you know, okay, we're taking calls, but this particular guy, Russell, was saying that is the case, and one of the LSB representatives, I guess it was a producer, who had said that as an engineer, he has been told not to allow him to get through. We used to have a guy named Monroe who would call up every second off topic, and he was just reprimanded and said, when he started to speak, you're not speaking on topic, and we will have to conclude the conversation. I think any producer should be skilled enough to control their show. If someone calls up and they're speaking off topic or taking too long, they should be cut off, and Russell does not do that. And we don't want to start a precedence where a producer would say, well, I don't want to hear from this one or that one. without any real cause. That was one of the things that I wanted to address as well.
All right. Thanks for that, Denise. All right, guys. Are there any other items and other issues that anyone wants to bring up that we haven't talked about already? All right. Hearing nothing else, we'll move on to I on the agenda, which is to repeat the announcements. And
I would like to say I would like to run. Okay, because it's like
who is this?
It's Denise.
Denise.
I would like to run for chairperson. I'm going to say I am running for chairperson. I wouldn't be running for chairperson if Neil could continue in his position. I probably would go for vice chair. But I'm running for the position, and my platform of determination as a chairperson is to keep WBAI on air, keep WBAI a listener-sponsored, community-controlled radio station that addresses the concerns and gives voice to the 99% or the listeners. And I recently made 25 calls to listeners to invite them to this particular meeting. I'm going to continue doing that. But in my effort to succinct the message to 1 minute for each call, I came up with community call-in meetings, because while we are a community advisory board, we might want to start to use a subtitle whenever we ask people to participate in the community advisory board meeting, that they participate in a community call-in meeting. It seems that the listeners that I spoke to were more receptive to that, and in fact, that's what we are. I also want to say that I would like every effort for the community advisory to stay the within the community and be accountable for the community. And, my whole efforts would be to accomplish those things. I'm interested in the voice of the community to be heard and to for our radio station to address the community's concerns. Okay, thanks.
All right,
I would
Eleanor, go ahead.
To run, and my platform is that I would get us onto Zoom so that everybody could see each other, and we could see who's speaking, and people who are out of order could be muted, and the meetings would be recorded and for posterity.
All right. Thanks for that, Eleanor. Appreciate it.
And
all
if,
right, guys.
I have a question for
go
you.
Ahead.
Question. If I don't, if I'm not elected as chair, I'd like to run for vice chair. There are two separate elections.
All right. So I guess a way to do that would be if we hold the chair election first, and then you would know the results of that. And at the last minute, you can run for a vice chair. All right. Any other comments on that from anybody?
Neil, I got bumped off. It's Mario. I got to call back in.
Yeah. Okay. So you're back. All right.
Since there are three positions that are available, I think that if someone is interested in a position or they want to nominate someone, that should be done now. This is January. We have February and March in order to see if the people who make the statements have any way of actually bringing them into fruition, their ideas and what have you. That is part of a platform as well. So.
Okay. Well, this is kind of springing things on people a little bit suddenly,
month.
Denise. Next month we can do that, yeah.
No, but
next month we can take
Mario.
Nominations. Go ahead, Mario.
March will be the third month, but you need to check their membership, remember? And you need to tell the group when they signed up. You have to check.
Right, right.
And then they have to come to three meetings in a row, And then anybody else who's already a member, you need to check their membership to make sure their membership's in force, who want to for the voting also. So in other words, you got to check everybody's membership, really.
Right, well, right. Oh, okay, that'll be done. That'll be done.
Okay.
All right, we can do that before the next meeting. So you said that you can look into that, Denise?
I can, yes. That's how I.
All right. Okay. That'll be good. Okay.
Yeah, please tell the group when the person joined, what month and what year.
Well, what I will do is ask for the general manager, because it should be bipartisan. It shouldn't be my word. It should be bipartisan, and it should be private. So they are easily able to go through the rosters and see who is and who is not. They are already aware of that because they're trying to generate money. That's why I said it would be pretty simplistic to get that done. And it should not be personally because I'm trying to run. Do you know what I'm
saying?
Well,
if we don't have the month, then it's not transparent. There's no track record to know.
Of course there is transparent if we also have a meeting every month and the attendance is given. We're focusing only on 3 months. It's not like a year ago. It's not that confusing. But
So
well,
we need
no
to know.
There's no way for me to know if a said person is a member who's been calling in the last 7 months.
Neil's been doing before. That's how he was able to know that you weren't a member. He's been doing that. I know they checked my membership. They checked my membership.
I've been asking for the secretary should be able to hold the membership list and what month they joined. It should be noted.
For whom?
All right, we'll work on that, Mario.
As near
as I can tell, Mario, I mean, the only issue for the CAB is whether or not a person is a member of the station on maybe going back to December or January this month and being a member all the way through till March. So I don't know. We'll talk about it, but we got to move on with the agenda.
But then you have the voting as well. Everybody who's voting has to be a member.
Yes. Everybody who's voting has to be a member. Yes. All right, let's move on here. The next thing on the agenda is to repeat the announcements. And
Neil, could I add to the announcements at the end of the list that you have one announcement also to add to it?
Yeah, okay. All right. All righty. All right, so to call in and listen to a CAB meeting, you do not have to identify yourself. You can keep your name confidential, and there's nothing wrong with that. This is an open meeting, and anyone can call in and listen to the meeting and take part. And you don't have to identify yourself. But if you do want to be a CAB member, you have to be a member of WBAI, and you have to attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings. Now, for the elections in March, what that means is that you would have to attend the next 3 CAB meetings, and I'm counting this one as a meeting. So you'd have to be here for this meeting today, and then you'd have to be in here for the February meeting, and then the March meeting. And that would make you a member of the CAB. And Tom, you had an announcement you wanted to make?
Yes. Dan Alberti, a longtime friend of Patty Logan, helped organize a memorial for Patty. Right now, nothing has been done other than we had wanted to raise $3,000, which was happened in a GoFundMe page for taking care of her last things that needed to be taken care of. But Dan was able to organize a memorial for her to take place on January 28th, a Saturday of this year. And I just want to give you the basic information on it. And again, there's room for about 300 people at the event. And this is what he had sent to me. You are invited to a memorial for Pat Logan, a celebration of activism. Location, Judson Memorial Church, 243 Thompson Street, New York, 10012. The meeting room, the big Judson Church space. Date, January 28, 2023. Time, 12:30 to 3 p.m. The New York City Labor Chorus will sing at this event. The following was written about 10 years ago and is on the New York City Labor Chorus website. Patty Logan has sung as a second soprano in the New York City Labor Chorus for the past 10 years. The last time she had sung in an organized group was in elementary school, and she missed it a lot. When Deborah E. Bernard, the person who hired her at the Tamminit Library at NYU and who was a chorus member at the time, suggested she join the labor chorus, Pat hesitated. Pat was afraid she would have a difficult time learning the words because she is blind. But Deborah offered her to copy out the words, and chorus director Joffrey Fairweather was fun and supportive, so she joined. It gives you a sense of solidarity, of empowerment, being part of a huge team when you open up your mouth and a great wall of sound comes out. She was born in New York City and raised in Queens. Her parents were not musical. Her father was in the Port Authority Police, and her mother worked for the post office. Pat went to the New York City public schools except for 4.5 years in elementary school when she went to Laval School for the Blind in the Bronx and incidentally sang in the chorus. After high school, she went to New York University where she graduated with a degree in psychology. Pat explains that she was a premature baby and became blind when she received too much oxygen in the incubator. She always goes on and off stage with another member of her section because before the chorus started using email for communication, she had a very much harder time getting information about performances. Pat describes herself as an activist. She has always been political, going to peace marches against the Vietnam War, but she became more involved during the 1990s as a result of study groups with radical women and the Freedom Socialist Party. She is active with CISPES, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, and with School of America's Watch NYC, and has been part of the annual protest to shut down the School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia, 7 times since 1998. Pat is also involved with radio station WBAI and is planning to run for the local station board. She asked her BAI member friends to consider voting for her. Pat loves singing in the chorus. Not being in a union, she feels the best way to express solidarity is being with the labor chorus, as well as supporting the graduate student organizing committee that is struggling at NYU. She really hopes the chorus will do more singing in schools and youth-oriented events because youth today don't learn much about unions. And thank you, Daniel Alberti. So basically, she had died about 2 months ago, and she has gotten her remains cremated, and the money that was raised will be able to take care of that part of it, but they wanted to have a memorial service, as they did have one for Larry Josephson at the Symphony Space. But this one will be held at the Judson Memorial Church, 243 Thompson Street, and that will be on a Saturday, which will make it easier for people to get to, and not super early in the morning, but from 12:30 in the afternoon to 3 p.m. And according to Dan, there's about room for 300. And I mentioned, I think I had talked to Denise, the morning of the Larry Josephson Memorial, said they're going to have it on BAI on the radio. And just by chance, I went to the BAI website and didn't know about it and clicked on it. I was able to watch it. It was like live streamed. I didn't know that at the time when I talked to Denise, so I heard it on the radio and was able to watch it on the computer. And Dan Alberti doesn't think it's a good idea to have it live streamed because then people will just stay home and not go to it. But anyway, that is coming up on January 28th, and he's gotten some emails that I was able to send to him that he was able to reach people, but he's got to get Mitchell Cohen's mailing list. He has like hundreds of people on it, so people will know about it, and they could be a part of it. So the memorial for Patty Logan will be on January 28th. I'm trying to get the word out. We're trying to get a cart made, and I think Danielle Berger, he actually worked for BAI and has an incredible announce a voice. He could probably make the card himself, but we have to do that because January 28th is coming up. So we have to get a card made. We have to get more information out. And then when I get any more information on it, I'll pass it on to everybody.
This is Judith.
Yes.
Add on to that she was active in the Mumia Abu-Jamal movement to free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Absolutely. She was amazing. And this little piece that was written about her was written 10 years ago. There's a lot of stuff she'd done in between. And one of the things I just have to add, I mean, I've walked with her from a train station over to 388 Atlantic Avenue. I don't know how she does that by herself. There's bicycles, there's planters, trees.
Yeah, she
how
was amazing. I did a lot of things with her. She was amazing.
Oh. I've never met anybody like. I mean, I can't do this stuff, and I'm fully sighted. she somehow found a way to do these things. She's totally an amazing person, a living legend, and I hope we can really have a good memorial service. So, right, we'll add all of that mm-hmm. on to her. And let me do this. Let me give you his website, his contact information. If you talk to him, he'll be able to fill you with more information. It's just Daniel, Daniel, at gbmc.me. Daniel, Daniel, at gbmc.me. And also, he's given me the liberty. M-E, yeah, at the end. And also he has a cell phone number, Dan Alberti. I think he'd be glad to hear from everyone. His cell phone number is 917-923-0400. Again, that would be Daniel Alberti, 917-923-0400. He's also an incredible person. I had two or three conversations with him, and he goes way back with Patty, and I hope we could turn this into a very good celebration of her life. And
we will. We
incredible
will.
Person. Incredible.
All right. Thanks for that, Tom.
And also, I have to add this might sound a little stupid. She was very patient at meetings. When we'd have meetings like this, cab meetings, and they'd go on and on and on. Like I remember one time she was going to have a doctor come over or give her some type of something for the pain in her back. And she stayed on the meeting and missed that thing, so she couldn't get that thing that would help her with the pain on her back. And she never complained.
Wow.
I could hear her sometimes. Sometimes she would moan in the background, like, come on, come on. But you could hear her. But she was patient, and sometimes she would hardly say anything at a meeting, but there would be a whole bunch of people would take one position on an issue, and all of a sudden she said, could I just make this point? And she'd step up and say and point out something and turn the whole issue around, and she'd do it in such a polite way. Totally amazing. Yeah, I've never met anybody like her. I just want to
interject something. We are struggling as a group of people, you know, in the city and as individuals. Judith, if you know this sister well, perhaps you could speak to Dan and you could be part of the memorial. I would love to understand her life condition and her spiritual temperament, because I want to learn as much as I can from anyone who's exhibited that. And obviously, from what everybody's saying about her, she was one of those people. I would love to hear a little more details about her spirituality and her thoughts, you know, since you knew her. Maybe you could speak to Dan and be part of the memorial as well.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for that. And I would like to... say thanks to Judith Ackerman and Caroline Burden for coming to the meeting, and I certainly hope that you guys continue coming to CAB meetings and possibly become CAB members, because we do need new members for the CAB. So I really appreciate you guys coming on to the meeting.
Thank you.
Next thing on the agenda is J, which is the next meeting date, which is February 19th, 2023, and the meeting will be held at 1 p.m., and it will be held on Maestro with the same numbers that were announced for this meeting, but that will also be announced in February. So with that done, I adjourn the meeting, and I thank everyone for coming. I appreciate everybody's input and assistance in the meeting.
Thank you. It was a good meeting. Thank you.
Okay. I hope to see you. Hope to see you again.
Inshallah. Take care. Be well. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Neil. Great job.
Thank you, Neil. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Daryl and Tom. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Invest or loan.
Yeah. Have a great week and great month. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. See you guys next.
Glad to hear you, Tom and Denise.
All right. Well, see everybody next month. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.